of is ons dankbaar as hy iets gee? Dan is ek dankbaar. Maar as ek niets ontvang nie, dan is ek ontevrede. Of is daar 'n dankbaarheid in my hart dat he's faithful, he's good, he's my father?
Amen. Did you want to find your seats? I actually want to share on that. So, thank you, Ramon. I really didn't speak to Rian beforehand, and it is an amazing confirmation of what I felt in my heart for this morning. Like you'll know, or the members will know, that we weren't planning to do a service this morning. We just wanted to have a braai outside and celebrate, but then the weather, and we're like, okay. But in that moment, I felt like the Lord actually wants to share something this morning with us. And also, yeah, when Rian came forward now and he shared just that, and I'm like, okay, okay, Lord, you want us to hear that. So it's not a massive preach. I'm gonna try and just share what I feel in my heart, and it is on being thankful, gratitude, and just the heart of it. Yes, we're here to be just to say thank you, Lord, for being a family like this. Actually, I had quite a moment last night with my wife as we were sitting and chatting, how the Lord's been speaking to me. I'm turning 40 in a couple of weeks. So it is, and I can stand on this knee now. It's not feeling great, but it's, the Lord's gonna share, fix that one as well. I've been thinking about my life, and I've been thinking about us as a family, and just to think of a family like this, just the beauty of, if you remember years ago where we started, you know, as Josh Jane, we started just on top of the gym there. We were a couple of us, we were about 50 or 60, I mean, I know there's some of you that actually started in the high school hall, and then you went also the town hall, and then we went to the gym, I think, or on top of the gym there. And now we've been in this building how many years now? Probably 9 years or 8 years. No, more, 10 years. Yeah, it's almost 10 years now. And yet again, it's not about the building. It's about just looking back, just what God's been doing, and it's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing to be a part of what God's been doing in this town. Amen? And there's a sense of us in this. But there's something that I felt in the Lord is actually what Rian said now, that God actually wants to say something to us this morning. It's in the us, we sometimes lose the individual. In the us, the us sometimes becomes so much of your identity that we actually lose your identity in Jesus. Okay, so I'm going to try and explain it a bit better now this morning. So wanneer dit ons saamkom en dit ons is, raak het so vinnig, raak ons jou identiteit. Ons raak jou verhouding met Here. Ons raak jou joy. Ons, and it's meant to be that, but it's not only meant to be that. Because there's a danger in it. There's a danger in the us. There's a danger in us. Just go and read your Bible. You'll see that. There's a danger in this. And if you want to call something, whatever, if you want to call a topic to what I'm sharing today, I want to call it the someone else would do it syndrome. Somebody else will do it syndrome. Ek weet nie wat dit in Afrikaans. Iemand anders sal dit doen syndroom. Okay. So if you look in the Bible, just look at the Israelites. Just the moment Moses went up the mountain, it's something about human beings when we get together as a group. We can be amazing, but we can go haywire very quickly. It's something you pick up in the identity of a group. Just look at kids. If you put an individual kid there, he's quite shy, and most of the kids, you get some of them, it's a little bit more palumpy and crazy. But put them all together, it sort of gets a bit chaos sometimes. You can see it in this church. Okay. And you get one or two that's a bit naughty, and then it steek allemaal aan. Then everybody gets like that. Ja, vrouwmens is, ja, verseker. En mans ook. Just have a look at what they'll do when the Springboks win and there are 50,000 of them around. They'll jump like never before and cry and be happy, but no emotions the rest of their life. It's a strange thing. Come on, be honest. Human beings are strange when it comes to us, when we're together. And I want to say it's a dangerous thing this morning to you. It's a dangerous thing. See, we see it, and Jesus actually picks up on this. Jesus becomes skeptical with the crowd. We read that in Luke 14. I'm going to read it through to us. I don't want to be too long, but Jesus sees large crowds, and he's like, skeptical about it. He stands up and he looks at him. He's like, and his heart's like, why are you here? Why are you following me? He knows that the crowds are coming. Why? Because of what they've been receiving. Just what Rian shared. Are you thankful because you're receiving, or are you just thankful with a grateful heart towards Jesus? So the crowds are coming, and Jesus are like, and it's actually, he starts off with, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father or mother, wife or children, brothers or sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. It's sort of, he's being straightforward to the crowd now. Most of us think, yes, crowds are great. Jesus in that moment wasn't like that. He knew that there was the reason why they came. And then he carries on, he says, doesn't a builder count the cost before he builds a tower to see if he's going to, and he starts talking about this is going to cost you something. Because we're all here because it's nice and lekker now. And then he talks about, I want to read a scripture later on for us in Luke 14 verse 31, he says, or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? So he counts the men. Make sure that you count the men. Make sure that you count the cost. So he talks to the crowd. So he's skeptical about this crowd. So it's something strange when we get together. We sort of follow the crowd. Groepsdruk, né? I want to read us something where Jesus also talks to us the parable, and this is probably one of the best known parables, and I'm not going to read it, and we're not going to talk about that, but it's about the one that gets lost, the 99. Jesus leaves the 99, and the shepherd goes and finds the one. But there's another, not a parable, a story that was mentioned a couple of weeks ago here in worship. But it's something that's been coming in my heart for years, and as I've been looking at groups of people, as I've been looking at us, I see this. Where the problem is, once we think about the individual, we think about the one that might get lost in this group, eh? Isn't it? So if I talk about, watch out, there's a danger when we're a lot of us. We most of the time we think, yes, people can get lost. Yes? So we think about the 99, let's go find the lost. But there's another parable where actually only one had the best heart. Or only one had the heart. And it's a very known, it's not a parable, it's a very known occurrence in the Bible, a very well-known occurrence, but it's not very well remembered. I'm going to say that again. It's very well known, but it's not very well remembered. And that's the story of the 10 lepers. We know that. But do you remember that? So I'm going to read it to us, Luke 17, verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. He stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go, show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Now, if you go and read, just make a small study of the Bible in all the healings. Most of the healings are 1 or 2 people. Yes, there were days when he healed like a lot. But most of the time it was to the individual. And you see the responses of the people are praise or thanksgiving, testifying. If you go and read all the healings and just the responses of humans when it's like one-on-one. But the moment God healed 10, someone else will do it syndrome kicks in. The moment he did 10, and it's amazing that the one that came and said thank you actually sort of wasn't part of the group. Think about that. He was a Samaritan. He wasn't a Jew like the rest of them. And sometimes when we It's that sort of attitude of, we know this is the Messiah, and it's sort of what we expect to happen, is healings and miracles and stuff, and they feel, okay, somebody else will be thankful. We can sort of carry on. We just do what we do. And we can so easily, we think, I want to say it again this morning, it's a danger when we all get together like this. Because somebody else will do it, or somebody else will be thankful. Somebody else will. And sort of as a church, we become thankful. And I'm not sure if this is making sense now. As a group, we become thankful. As a group, we give. As a group, we worship. As a community, we serve. Or is it you serving? Is it you giving? Is it you worshiping? Or is it the group doing it? And there's a fine line of missing that thing. And that's why I say, sometimes in a group, we can get lost. You can be in this church, and one day stand in front of God, and he'll say to you, I don't know you. Because the group is following Jesus. But are you? Are you doing it? And it's so easily for us to understand that we actually, just a few examples. Send a WhatsApp and we're like, hey, we need somebody to do this. And there's 150 people on the group. How many people will respond? Yes, bro. Somebody will do it. Somebody's there. See, the church will do it. I don't want to sound harsh. I'm just trying to explain to you this morning that's the reality of being a us. Is that us will do it and not you. Us will serve. Us will give. Especially receiving this now, next door, this new building, it's amazing. Thank you, Lord. Josh Jane, us did it. And which is amazing without Josh Jen, we wouldn't have been able to do it. But what was your heart of gratitude and thankfulness and giving of yourself, and we're going to get there now, for this? What is your heart in giving of yourself, in thankfulness? See, it's always been, for the Lord, it's always been about the individual. It's always been about the individual. Yes, not just only the individual that runs away the one sheep, but it's always been about the one individual that actually stayed and said thank you. So we can be part of the 99 and safe. Yeah, we feel safe. We need to make sure that we go and get the one. Make sure that we get the one. But I want to say this morning, make sure that you're the one in the group, though. Of those who are left behind, are you the ones that are thankful and your heart is in the right place? Because we need to be people that are after God's heart, close to God's heart. And I want to read us, and this is the last thing that I want to share this morning. I want to read us a story. I'm going to read it, we're going to have time, but I'm going to tell you a story about David. David was a man close to God's heart. And David, in 1 Samuel 24, and I'm going to read it, but David, like, listen carefully, like most kings, like the group kings, like most kings do, they count the cost of going to war. And David says, okay, I'm going to count. Like all the other kings, it's wise to count. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to count my able men in Israel and Judah. And it takes 9 months to do that. He sends out his people. They take 9 months to go and count all the able men that can go to war. It comes to, I think, 1.2 or 1.3 million men, able men. So the guys come back and they say, and I actually warned him before, why are we doing this? But they come back, and as they tell David, we've got 1.2 million people. In that moment, he realized that he sinned against God. He was counting on the 1.2 million men and not counting on God. Obviously, God sees this, and God sends a prophet to him. Gad, I think, is the prophet. And a prophet comes to him and he said, you've sinned against the Lord. So the Lord's going to punish you. But he's going to give you the option of what the punish is. It's amazing. After he realized, I've sinned against God. Now God's like, here's the three options. First one, you're going to have famine for 3 years. Or plague for 3 days. And the last one is your enemies. I think, I don't know how long your enemies are going to. I'll give you over to the enemies and they'll fight against you. And then David realizes in that moment, it's like, I'd rather fall into the hand of God than fall into the hand of men. And he says, God, rather your hand. And an angel of God comes. This is profound. An angel of God comes. And a plague comes in. Kills 70,000 Jews. 70,000 Jews. And as the angel's moving towards Jerusalem, the Lord says, this is enough. Stop. And they actually stop at a place called, I want to see the farmer's name, Arunua. And he had a threshing floor. You know what's a threshing floor? A doors floor. While a koring gedors het. And as the angel moves, he stops, the Lord stops him at that threshing floor. It's a big place of, it's a flat place where they beat out the, whatever, what's your name, Skorang? Wheat, there we go. And he stops there, and David actually realizes this, what's been happening, and the Lord stopped him, and he goes towards the angel, and God speaks to him, and God says to him, I want you to bring an altar, build an altar with the offering for me on that threshing floor. Go and buy that place. So David goes up to this farmer, and this is beautiful. I actually want to read this to us. Is it 2 Samuel or 1 Samuel? 2 Samuel, 2 Samuel 24, verse 18. On that day, Gad went to David and said to him, go up and build an altar. Sorry, the prophet told him, go up and build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Arunua, the Jebusite. So David went up, as the Lord had commanded through Gad. When Arunua looked and saw the king and his officials coming toward him, he went out and bowed down before the king with his face. Arunua said, why has my lord the king come to his servant? And yet David answers him, and he says, to buy your threshing floor, David answered, so I can build an altar to the Lord, that the plague on the people may be stopped. Arunua said to David, now this is beautiful. You see two people's hearts with the right posture. Arunua is like, okay, just score. Hier's die koning, hy gaan my dorsvloer koop, ching ching, geld. Nee? No, Arunua's response is, let my lord the king take whatever he wishes and offer it up. Here are oxen for the burnt offering, and here are threshing sledges and ox yokes for the wood, your majesty. Arunua gives all this to the king. Arunua also said to him, may the Lord your God accept you. Now David must think by himself, okay, awesome, score, ching ching, ek hoef nie te betaal vir hierdie storie nie. And this is the heart what God wants. Look at what David's response. But the king replied to Arunua, no, I insist on paying for it. I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that will cost me nothing. So you get these two people actually fighting about giving. And eventually, Arunua is like, okay, obviously you're the king. If you want to pay for it. And David's like, this is my offering. See, that's about the individual's heart. We can get lost in the us. When there's the opportunity to give of yourself. Are you waiting for somebody else to do it? Or are you jumping at the opportunity to offer your life to God? Like David did. Are you jumping at the opportunity to say, God, I want this to cost me something? Are you giving of your finances out of abundance? Or is it costing you something? Are you giving out of your time? Out of abundance. Oh, no, you know, it was rugby last night. So lekker. It's rather, it's only going to be a bride today at church. See, there's a us celebrating, or there's the individual celebrating. There's the us giving into this building, or there's, and Josh James paying for this. Or, are you wanting it to cost you something? Are you wanting, see, that's the heart, why does God want us to be like that? Why does it have to cost us? Why does it have to be hard? Because you're made in His image and in His likeness, because it cost Him everything. Acts 17, my last scripture, verse 24. If you want a summary of Christianity, read Acts 17, verse 24 and onwards. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. Seeking hearts that is like Him. He's seeking hearts, that's not the scripture there, but he's seeking hearts that are like Him so that He can live in it. He doesn't live in Life Cafe. He doesn't live in His building. He's seeking hearts that are like Him so that He can live with us. And here it says in verse 25, and He is not served by human hands as if He needed anything. He doesn't need your offering. Rather, He Himself gives everyone life and breath and everything in it. Just like Rian said, Are you giving because you are receiving? Or are you giving like God says there, I don't give because I don't need anything from you. I give because that's who I am. And it costs me something to give for you. In the same way, is your life costing you something to the Lord? Are you giving yourself without wanting to receive from Him? And it's a heart's desire for the Lord to be with you. But we need to get rid of ourselves into a place of thankfulness towards Him. And that thankfulness for this, what we've been receiving, what we've been doing in the us through the last 12 years. But are we getting lost in the us? Or are you, as an individual, giving you everything?
Ek het lanklaas wat ek 'n woord voel van hier wat voel my hart gaan uit my bors uitspring as ek dit nie bring nie. So dankie vir die mic, Charlie. My knie is gewoon lam, maar I heard the Lord saying, what if you're the last man standing? And I feel it's a word for all the men here, but the young men too. And I was just reminded, I used to be a missionary years ago in a country where basically all the church leaders usually get imprisoned, like on false drug charges and stuff, but whoever seems to be a leader gets arrested and imprisoned because Satan knows that if you take the shepherds, you scatter the sheep. And I felt the Lord saying, and I don't know, like if that day is going to come soon or if it's still, we still have years left, but I really felt that every man in our congregation need to think, what if I'm the last man standing? Am I ready to shepherd God's people? Am I ready to shepherd these people? Because there's a deep lie in our culture that the dumni or the pastor or the priest will be spiritual for us. He'll approach God for us. He'll pray for me when I'm in trouble. But God is asking, what if you are the last man standing? Are you ready to shepherd my people? You young guys, are you reading the word, studying the word? Are you practicing by serving in the church? Are you giving yourself? Because a day might come where you're the last man standing to shepherd God's people. And I know for some of you it might sound ridiculous, but it's a huge reality for a huge portion of the world's population. In China, there's a lot of house churches led by teenagers. In Russia at the moment, because the guys are all being called up into the army, the men are fleeing the country. I mean, we have some Russian Josh Jenners in Mauritius because the men doesn't want to be called into the army with the Ukrainian war. What if you're the last man standing? Are you ready to shepherd God's flock? What if Ramon or Tian or Dolls or the other elders or Kenny, the guys that's actively serving, actively discipling, aren't here anymore? What if you are the last man standing?
That's very good. So don't you want to be an individual after God's heart? And I think that's the question God's asking us this morning. We want to celebrate and say, thank you, Lord. But I want to ask you, are you celebrating or are we celebrating? See, the we is not bad, but there's a part of we and a part of the us that is dangerous. Are you ready to lead, like Melania said now? Are you ready to take up the responsibility spiritually for your own life and for the people around you? Or are you waiting for your comm leader to do that? Amen. Amen. So I want us to respond in communion this morning. As individuals, I want you to have communion with the Lord this morning. Ramon's going to play a little bit of guitar for us. Nee, Ramon. Thank you. And I want to ask this, just the last question, just to sum it up. fact that you believe that God exists, and the fact that you believe in Jesus Christ, that died on the cross for you as a sinner. Jesus says to the crowd, why are you here? Say, have you count the cost? You will not find life if you do not lose it. And I want to ask you, and I've seen this in a town. I've seen a Jesus with no cost. I've seen a Jesus where people, it's a Jesus that's, there's no cost to him. And I want to ask you, even in this church, what has you following Jesus cost you in the last week? Think about that. It's not just an initial put up my hand and I give you my life. It's a daily picking up your cross. And what has it cost you? And yet again, the cost is why I pay that cost. Because it's his kindness that leads me to it. Because he did it. And as I find the likeness with him, as I become like him, we become one, like in John 17. He shows us his glory. But he wants you to get free of yourself. When last, when you worship, did it cost you something in his church? Or is worship something just comfortable? Is your worship costing you something? Because it's an offering, isn't it? Lord, I don't want to do this if it doesn't cost me. I don't want other people to worship for my sake. I don't want other people in it, us to worship. I want to worship. So let's stand. I actually feel like we should worship before we do communion. It's still time. So let's stand. What's your song?
I get a praise your name and there is a name. Jesus, I'm trying to find the praise. There is a name who reigns without contention, whose power can be questioned or contained. With humble faith, he rules the earth and heavens, his glory knows no measure or refrain. And it's bursting past the borderlines of space. Jesus, enthroned upon the praises of our hearts. Oh, Jesus, you're the King and you're the center of it all, of it all. Jesus, enthroned upon the praises of our hearts. Oh, Jesus, you're the King and you're the center of of it all, of it all. There is a name, and reaching past the margins, and calling sons and daughters back to him. And as he says, we can hear the roar of heaven as particles are coming home again.
Oh, the triumph of his name will never end. And Jesus enthroned upon the praises of our heart. Oh, Jesus, you're the King and you're the center of it all, of it all. For every eye will see and every heart will know there is no name above the name of Jesus. Death could not hold him down. No grave could keep him bound. All sin and sickness bow to the name of Jesus. For every eye will see and every heart will know there is no name above the name of Jesus. Death could not hold him bound. No grave could keep him bound. All sin and sickness bow to the name of Jesus. Jesus enthroned upon the praises of our hearts. Oh, and Jesus, you're the King and you're the center of it all, is of it all.
It's filling my heart to ask the question this morning. If you're standing here with everybody's eyes closed, I want to ask you the question, have you ever said, Lord, here is my life? If you've never given your life to God, I want to give you the opportunity to respond to Him this morning. And yet again, the reason why we do it is because we see He did it. We don't just give our hearts to God, He gave it to us. He gave His Son. He gave His Son to you. You'll know in your heart that you need a Savior. That this world is not giving you peace. And the only place you'll find peace is in a hope that Jesus Christ died and He rose again. But like He looked at a crowd and He says, you need to lay down your life like I did. Believe in me. So if that's you this morning and you want to give your life to God, don't you want to just put up your hand? Everybody's eyes are closed. Just don't you want to put up your hand? I don't want to let this opportunity go past. Don't you just want to give your life to God this morning? Thank you, God. And then I want to ask you this morning, I want to ask another question, and I want us to respond to the Lord this morning and saying, Lord, here I am. Here I am. I want to offer my life. I've done it years ago, but I've been living for myself. I've given you what I've got, but I want to give you that it costs me something. I want to be the one that says thank you. I want to be the one that comes back and say thank you, Lord. If you want to respond, don't you just want to lift your hands with me this morning? Say, Lord, I want to be that one. Lord, we don't want to get lost in the us. Father, I want to be one close to your heart. I want to be the one with the grateful heart. I want to be the one that jumps and says, this is an opportunity to serve my Lord. This is an opportunity to offer something that cost me something. I can't wait to give something because it's costing me something. I want to be like you, Lord. Father, help us to live a life of sacrifice, a living sacrifice, so that we will be poured out on your feet, Lord. Like Mary just poured out so much on your feet, Father. And you saw that, and all the others were envious and couldn't understand what she was doing. How can she pour that expensive oil out on his feet? And I, Father, we want to be Mary. I pray, Lord, that you will guide us in it, Father. In the times where we count the cost, but we lean towards ourselves, that we will be able to discern the flesh from the spirit, Lord. Where we are preserving our own lives. At what cost are we doing this? So lead us, Jesus. Father, as we have communion together now, Father, I pray, and I just want to come and say thank you, Lord, for your cost of the cross. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your body was broken, for the blood that flowed, Father, for our iniquities, for our sins. What great cost was that, Lord? May we remember that this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's have communion. And yeah, there's, if you didn't bring communion, there's communion on that table.